Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I've long believed that the University of Portland basketball program was a sleeping giant. Shante Liggins has been hired as the new coach, comes to UP from Eastern Washington, played his college ball at Cal and Fresno State, and he joins us now. Have you moved in? Are you getting your feet underneath you?
Well, first, thanks for having me. And no, I'm not all the way moved in. I have a 3- and a 4-year-old, so it makes it difficult packing and moving stuff. But we will be moving soon and shortly, and we got to get them. They're going to their grandma's house in Serbia, so it's going to be a long trip for them. But we're going to fly them over and get them to Serbia, and then we're headed right over to pack and move in to the bluff, as they call it. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's exciting. And let me just tell you, like, I look out into my garage. I was out there today, and I've been moving things, Shante, for years and years from spot to spot. I don't even know what's in the boxes. I have no idea. You just leave it.
I don't know what's in my house. I look around. I'm walking around like, I didn't even know I had these things. I guess that's how unaware I am during season and during basketball season. So, no, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great move. I wish I could just hurry up and get out there, get some movers and get moving, because I'm excited about what we got coming in and how we want to start building this thing.
Yeah, let's talk about that. And last night, I'm assuming you watched Gonzaga and Baylor play the game. What did you think of the championship game last night?
Well, you know, it looked like you know, Gonzaga's a great team. It just looked like they got surprised. They weren't ready for that kind of fight. It was like, you do a lot of scouting and you do a lot of watching games, it's like watching the AAU game, you know, and that good team, that great team just went to the back gym and just got surprised, and they didn't catch up until a little bit too late. And so, you know, I think the skill level was there for both teams. I just think, you know, Baylor just out-toughed them and surprised them right from the jump. They were ready to go, and it was a very intense game. It was fun to watch, you know, what Gonzaga tried to do early with their ball screen defense because of what happened earlier, you know, in the UCLA games. They tried to switch it, and Baylor, you know, picked that apart and started switching and going one-on-one against that. So it was a fun game to watch all the little, you know, the ins and outs of what they were trying to do on both sides.
Yeah, I always think it's interesting to get coaches, because you'll see, like, a lot of us get focused on personnel, but you probably are looking next level at, like, how are these coaches adjusting to each other and what are they doing? And, of course, you're going to be coaching against Gonzaga next season, so you're probably looking and going, okay, that high screen could work for us.
Yeah, that's high screen. Let me get all those Baylor guys to come on down. Let's see if they want to jump in the portal. No, I'm kidding. Nah, but the high screen role with Timmy will put him in a lot of tough situations, and they put their bigs in a lot of switching situations. I mean, that's what Gonzaga likes to do. They love to switch and they like to stay in front of guys, but those guards for Baylor were not having it. They were getting into the lane, creating havoc, finding the right guys. And then when they got offensive rebounds, you could tell last night that Baylor said, every time we get an offensive rebound, let's kick it back out. And they did such a great job of rebounding and kicking it back out and resetting or hitting open three. And so that really put Gonzaga in a dip, because it slowed the game. You see, those types of things slowed the game down a little bit. And, you know, so Gonzaga couldn't get out and just run and go fast, you know. And so that really that changed the tempo, too. So that really put Gonzaga in the bind. I don't think they're prepared for that either.
Let's go back to, you know, you're growing up and, you know, you're playing basketball as a kid. And, you know, at what point does the idea of coaching enter your mind?
Probably around my sophomore year in college, when I was playing against a really good player that was 6'4" and did the same thing I did at 5'10". And I said, well, I got to figure out, I don't look like I'm an NBA guy. I'm not built like Allen Iverson. So let's start thinking about some other things, because it's basketball career won't, you know, but you know, for me, it's always been my whole family, my whole life. I mean, I've been around coaches, you know. Coaches have been really my father figure. You know, my mom was a single parent and she grew up, but I was always in the boys club. I was always in the big brothers, big sisters program. And I met some really great men through that. And a lot of them were coaches. And so, you know, I kept those bonds close. And I feel like, you know, to give back in a, you know, a special way, you can be a coach. You can teach guys, you know, how to, you know, be prepared for life and different types of things and be there for the long run, you know. And so I've been blessed and lucky to have, you know, coaches like that in my life. And, you know, a lot of the times you follow the people that, you know, impress you and put the most impressions on you as possible. And so that's what I think I've fallen into. And, you know, I love coaching. I love, you know, being there for these young men and student athletes and trying to, you know, help them better themselves and better their lives as they move forward.
We're talking to Shante Leggins, the new basketball coach, University of Portland men's basketball coach. You come into this conference, you come from the Big Sky. Immediately, you know, everyone will talk about Gonzaga, but this conference has got some other teams that have historically been good. You know, you look at what has happened at Santa Clara over the years, or St. Mary's, BYU. Can UP play in the top half of this conference? That becomes a question all the time.
So 100% we can, and we will. And I'm excited about it. You know, I came to win. And, you know, the players and the coaches that we're bringing, we want to win. And so that's what we're doing. And so we're building a team that can go rival to win championships. That's the whole goal and the whole thing of playing is you want to win championships. And I can't, you know, say that enough. You know, that's one of the things that really interested me in this job is when I was talking to the athletic director, Scott, and he just was so pumped up on winning championships and putting yourself out there to win. And so that's really what sold me on this whole place. And, you know, once I started looking into it, like you said, it is a sleeping giant. It's got great facilities. It's a great university, great academics, and a great location, great city. Like, and I look at it like, you know, this is a great place to be. Like, you can build on this. You can go get very good young men to come here and build this program and make it into something very, very successful. And you just got to, you know, find the right ingredients and just keep pushing and pushing forward and you'll break through because this is a great place. And I mean, when I look at it, I'm like, this could be every year you're playing for a championship type job. And, you know, that's what's the most exciting about the whole thing is this is a winner and we can make it into a winner.
Coaches are looking at the portal right now and there's got to be 1,200 players in the transfer portal. Can UP live in that portal a little bit or are you looking for freshmen that you want to come in? What's sort of the tactic or strategy you take with a portal that's that swollen?
Well, it's tough because there's so many players. I mean, there's so many players in that portal, and so it's a tough thing to go in there and just say, hey, so you got to go by relationships and people you've recruited and see if they're in that portal or see if they're in there, and you got to go through that. But at the same time, you got to find the right mix. You know, you're building. You know, for this year, we want to build a team that can compete for a championship this year. But you also got to think about how you're going to build your program throughout the year. So you also got to find high school kids. You know, you have to find some kids that are willing to, you know, hey, let's go come out here and there's going to be some older guys ahead of me. Well, let's go learn the system. Let's get better and build in that. And, you know, that's how we've done it here at Eastern. You know, when I was at Eastern, we were able to find guys that wanted to be in the program and build throughout that. And that's what we're going to do at Portland. There's a lot of people that want to play at the University of Portland. There's a lot of people that want to be in the WCC. There's a lot of people that want to beat Gonzaga. There's a lot of people that want to be here and do those types of things. And so we'll find those young players and we'll build on that. And so that's how you got to build. You know, that's how I'm going about building the program is we got to obviously find the right mix of older guys because you're not going to go in and with high school kids. You know, this isn't Michigan back in the day where you get the Fab Five, but you got to go in and get a good mix and you got to have the right balance. And so as you keep moving forward and you're able to put guys in redshirt years and you're able to, you know, get guys stronger and then start preparing to be, you know, be a part of that and be ready for that physical part of the league. And so, you know, you got to find a good mix. And there's a lot of good players in that portal, but there's also really, really good high school kids that we're looking at and we can't wait to try to get here on campus.
We're talking to Shante Leggins, University of Portland men's basketball coach. You know, when you're hired, I immediately go and look at the Eastern Washington roster and I say, okay, he's got a couple Australian kids. One Canadian, you know, I know you in your playing career, you played overseas a little bit. At UP, is there a blend that you like? Do you want international players on the roster?
We want the best players possible. So if that comes wherever they come from and they want to be at Portland, then we got to get them, especially if they're really good. And so, you know, you have to find the players that are going to mix and want to be there. You know, there's going to be players that want to be there that are really good. And you got to then those players that you got to recruit to make them want to be there. And so, if you kind of find you got to recruit the relationships, and I have great relationships with people internationally. I have great relationships with people, you know, on the West Coast, especially in the Northwest. So I'm looking forward to you know, turn over every rock possible in the Northwest to try to get some of these young kids that are really good in Portland to stay home and play with the Portland across their chest and be proud of that, because I know there's some really proud, you know, people in this town that's going to really, really get behind you. If we just got to get some of those right kids that, you know, are leaving and going to go play at top 25 programs, we got to keep them in the town to play for Portland. And that's a huge deal for me too. So we want to get the best players nearby so we can get the community behind us. And then we just got to go find guys that are willing to come play and fill in and try to win some games. And so that's the kind of, you know, model we're looking to do, you know, right from the start.
Basketball has been a big part of your life, and you marry a former Serbian national basketball team member who played at Eastern Washington. But I also hear my researchers tell me that ping pong is a big deal in your life as well. Tell me about ping pong.
It is. Ping pong might be the bane of all our arguments. It's right here on this table. I'm leaving here. I'm not bringing it with me. I'm going to burn this table. It's something that we figure out. Who's putting the kids to bed, diapers. This is the table right here. We'll let our kids sit down for a minute until we finish a game. It is a big deal in our family. I mean, we're going to leave this to a couple of our former players and buy a new one up there, but this table has to go. It has caused a lot of fights. And I've been playing ping pong, you know, at the boys' club when I was little for a long time. But, yeah, that right there could cause a lot of issues at our house. We won't talk to each other for 3-4 days after a ping pong match.
See,
and she
don't...
says it hit the table, and I say it didn't hit the table. Paddles are flying. It's pretty tough. So, but it's a lot of fun, though. You know, we get a lot of things done that way. So it's either you do that, or you know, you guys do something else. But yeah, that's the best way to handle an argument in our house. Quick game
right,
to 11.
So what do you learn about somebody when you're playing ping pong against them?
How much they cheat and try to win. No, but you figure out, like, if they can do the same thing over and over again, you know, and that's mm-hmm. one thing. You know, she has no backhand, but she's worked on it. I don't know where she worked on it, and she's gotten better, so I don't know how that's happened. And now she's starting to, you know, the tide's starting to turn a little bit, so I got to figure something out to get more of the wins back in my column. So that's one of the toughest things, is mental toughness and how to dodge a ping pong paddle. That's another thing that I've learned pretty much how to do.
You know, moving from the Big Sky to the WCC seems like a no-brainer, but you were in a job where you were having success, and you're taking a job that, you know, there hasn't been a line of successful coaches who have used it as a springboard. What makes you think you can do what maybe some others haven't been able to do there?
It is tough. You know, winning games is always going to be hard. And so, you know, I'm going to go about it like the same way I've always gone about everything. It's all out. You know, do everything full speed and try to take as many people with you as possible and get as much people behind you as possible, because I think that, you know, the stronger you are as a group, the better you are. And so I'm going to find people like that. But at the same time, at Eastern, we were able to do that at a high level. And so when I look at the job, you know, I'm seeing a lot of, you know, Eastern was this, Eastern was that, and that's what I'm hearing about Portland. But that's just hearsay. That's what happened in the past. I'm looking all to the future. You know, I'm looking at how beautiful our gym is. You know, I'm looking at the facilities we have. I'm looking at the academics we have. I'm looking at all the positives we can to bring student athletes here to build that success. And, you know, I'm not going to, when I go and recruit a kid, I'm not going to say, hey, we haven't won a lot of games in the WCC. I'm talking about what we're going to do and how it's going to happen. And that's the vision. I want them to get behind the vision and my vision of what I see. And so, you know, I'm going to get behind that. I'm going to, because I believe in all of my heart that we're going to be really good. I believe it. And so, you know, I'm going to be able to show people my vision and let them know how much I believe. And I think I can get people to jump on board with me, because I do think Portland is a sleeping giant. And we could win a lot of games here, and we could compete for championships. And people are going to believe that, because when they see the product on the floor, when they see how, you know, good character guys and good young men we have here, they're going to jump behind that because they want to be a part of a winner. And so that's what we're going to be here. And so, you know, I can't really speak on, you know, the past. But I know the future looks really bright.
Your staff, as you put it together, how fluid is that? Do you have the staff assembled already, or are you still sort of shaping it?
Still sort of shaping it. I got some great ideas. I got some really good young men that are going to probably come and put their stamp here at the University of Portland. And it's going to be something that, again, they're going to be energetic. They're going to be just like me, and they're going to be ready to go. And we're going to go find guys and They're going to be out in the community. We're going to be at high school games in town. It's going to be something special because we have a lot of guys that are running around doing a lot. But at the same time, they're great people and it'll be great coaches. So those are the kind of guys I'm looking for. And we should be settling down here on a couple guys here and getting all that paperwork done. And they're going to be in town sooner than later. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
All right, Coach, I wish you the best, you and your family the best as you make this move. And, you know, I would love to get together when you get in town and maybe we'll have you in studio for an interview. But also, before you leave that table behind, get that last W and then say that's it. That's the last game we're playing and you're done with ping pong before you move.
That's very smart. I would get one and I'm going to jump on the table just so it breaks. Kind of like that Kobe doing, just yell Kobe and just break the table. I think that's the only thing I can do to go ahead and do. But I'm bringing one to town, so you got to make sure you stop by so we can get some games in.
Oh, man. All right. Coach, I appreciate you. Thanks for making time for us.
Of course, man. Thank you for having me.
All right. There's Shante Leggins. He is the new coach at University of Portland. Of course, we wish him the best. It's a tough job. I mean, we have seen the University of Portland model, you know, people will say over and over, I've heard it over and over in the last 15 or 20 years, you know, we want to be the next Gonzaga. We want to be the next Gonzaga. I've heard that. But you've watched, you know, essentially Terry Porter fail. You watched Michael Holton, two coaches before that, do okay. You watched Eric Revenoe kind of muddle along, passable. Decent, but not better. And now the job goes to the Eastern Washington coach who has had tremendous success at Eastern Washington, but this is a new animal. And I don't think that the emphasis at UP needs to necessarily be the next Gonzaga. It's got to be, though, find an identity right away. The program needs an identity. You need something to sell kids. Because right now, I don't know about you, but I've been here, and it's my job to cover this stuff and pay attention to it. And I have to be honest, I don't feel like there's an identity at the University of Portland when it comes to men's basketball. Women's basketball has developed it. You know, under Michael Meek, he's done a really good job developing identity. But you need an identity. Like soccer at UP has an identity, even if it's, you know, it stuck or tagged to the Clive Charles era. It's still an identity. University of Portland men's basketball, it's a blank slate. It's milquetoast. There's no identity to it. And I'm not saying that as a negative. It's just a blank canvas. So Shante Leggins has got to come in. He's got to create an identity for the program, and he has to get busy selling it. And the beauty of it is he doesn't have to overcome a bunch of stuff. Like, it's not like UP has got, like, a scandal on its hands. It's not like the last era was anything, you know, less than just a dumpster fire on the court. It just doesn't have an identity. It's blank. And that's really what I think the challenge is for University of Portland. Carve out an identity. Let it be the identity of this coach if this is the direction you're going. But what you can't afford to do at UP is muddle along and move from Michael Holton to Eric Revenoe to Terry Porter. And in the end, we all just go, there's not a lot there. Because that, ultimately, that's not a program that kids are going to want to play for. And it's not a program people are going to want to support. And it's frankly and sadly not a program that the media is going to pay attention to. So right now, you know, I don't know who else is paying attention to University of Portland besides this radio show. But I'm focused on what Shante Leggins can do there. Can he create an identity? And if he does, I think it'll be interesting to see what he can do there because I do think they can be a top half of the conference team year in and year out. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. Our big splash next. Jenna Newby, you're back in studio. I'm at the home studio. What'd you think of the Gonzaga-Baylor game?
Well, they kept making that parallel between the U.S. men's hockey team, Lake Placid 1980, how they had that huge win over Russia, right? And then that was the semifinal. You still had to go out and beat Finland in the championship, which they did. And then Nance Hill and Raftery and all the guys kept saying, well, I guess Baylor's better than Finland. And I'm like, right. Yeah, I guess so. Here's the one thing I would say, though. You said Baylor wins 7 out of 10. Is that with the context that Gonzaga played UCLA 2 days prior with that kind of a game?
It isn't. I think that that did play a factor. I think anybody who says that the semifinal game and how emotionally draining that was for Gonzaga, they say it doesn't play a factor. It did. Houston was the weakest of the four teams in the Final Four. It wasn't close. And I think Baylor being matched up against Houston while Gonzaga and UCLA were in this wrestling match in the other semifinal, I think it did play a factor. I do think Gonzaga being flat played a factor, but I still think the three guards for Baylor, the intensity with which they play, the matchup problems that they created, we all saw it. I think Baylor was a better team. So I do give Baylor 7 out of 10.
Yeah, they were definitely a live dog in that spot. The other thing I think is, was this Mark Few's best chance at a national title? And I feel bad. I mean, we love that guy here. We love him, and rightfully so. But that was as talented a team as he's ever had. Obviously, they were undefeated to that point, and they kind of got run out the gym. And it was a bad spot, you know, like we mentioned, but they were the second-best team last night, and I don't know if he can win one again.
Yeah, I think it's so hard. Look, it's hard. I've covered the NCAA tournament for 25 years. I've been in those arenas. I think it's really hard to win games in that tournament. And even if you're a one seed, it's hard to win games. And so the teams that arrive there in the Final Four, they're all battle-tested. They've all fought and scratched, and I think once you get to that point, you sort of get some separation, like we did see Baylor kind of separate from everybody else. But I'm not going to close the door on Mark Few, but I also don't think it's like a tragedy. Like, let's look at it in context. Like, Mark Few has made a good living, right? Mark Few has had a lot of wins. He's hoisted some championship trophies in his conference. He gets to the tournament every year. He's been to the Final Four multiple times. He's played in a couple championship games or coached in a couple championship games. So it's not like I feel sorry for Mark Few. This isn't like, you know, Bo Jackson's hip injury in the prime of his career. But at the same point, it was like, for Gonzaga fans who are out there listening to this, like, I don't blame you if you're flat today, because it feels like you had your best shot and you weren't within 15 or 16 points of getting there. And it, you know, we don't have to play the benchmark, but that's our big splash. Yeah. Gonzaga took its shot. It had a great season. I don't think there's any shame in being runner up in that game. But, you know, I think that
is. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.